Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed. So I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your revealed in me. So I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to so I give myself away. Hallelujah. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. And I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can.
One last time.
Here I am, here I stand. Lord,
my life is in your hands.
Revealed in me, so I give myself away.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, I give myself away so you can you. Oh, I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me.
Amen. I want to sing page 208, The More That I Surrender. Key of F. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
I love that song. It's like a prayer. And that whole song is exactly my desire. Every word of that song is what I want to do for him.
Right.
That's my whole desire.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I want to give myself away to him.
Amen.
And I want him to do, rebuild the desires in me.
Amen.
And I want to live. I don't want to voice, but I want to live it.
Amen.
I just praise his name.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. Page 208. The more that I surrender, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
Praise God.
It's good to be here this morning.
Nobody.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. I love this. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release, the more that I release my... Lord, you take control. You, Lord, you take control. I know the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. Yes, the more that I surrender, my Lord, the more that I release my all my cares, the more you take control. I know the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, oh Lord, I love you more. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. I know that the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Johanna.
Amen.
Good to be here.
And that song was just touching my heart because me and Dwayne have been talking about that even before your message on Sunday. We were driving in the car, and I was talking to Dwayne about something that had been parenting with Daisy that was bothering me. And he's like, you don't even have to worry about this. This home's on my shoulders. And it took such a load off of me.
Amen.
Because I feel like sometimes, since I'm the one dealing with her all day, I'm like, oh, I'm failing. He's like, no, this house is on my shoulders. And
Amen.
You don't have to even worry about that.
Right.
And it just took so much off of me and just put me at such peace because I was like, I can put this on you. I don't have to worry about this from day to day.
Amen.
And I was like, just thank you, Lord, for that. And it really does take the weight off your shoulders. I was reading this thing on Facebook and people were saying such nasty things about people in headship. I was like, you don't even know the blessings it gives because
right.
It really is so nice. I get to
right.
just stay home and enjoy and I don't have to worry about anything. And I was just so thankful for this place and for my husband and for my family. And I was singing that first song this morning, like I just that you sang today, I was singing that in the shower. I was like, God's just been so good to me.
Amen.
And I'm just
Amen.
So thankful and I couldn't
Amen.
Think of it.
Amen. God bless you.
I just wanted to thank God as well. And I'm just like Johanna said, you know, I appreciate that rest that we can put on our husbands. You know, and I appreciate my husband and all that he does. You know, today's his birthday. Amen. You know, and he's been such a good man to me. Amen. I just appreciate him and all the things that he's done for me and my household. You know, he's been just such a blessing.
Amen.
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 God bless you. Got Brother Warren. And then we'll go to
Mr. Okay. I want to thank God. Yesterday I went to my nephew's wedding, and it was a beautiful thing. But there was a little subplot to it, and I could see God in it, and this is what happened. I got a chance to go. Crystal was iffy, so she declined, and then at the last minute she was able to go. But at that point, I was supposed to sit at the family table, the head table or whatever, and I was willing to give up my spot and go sit with the common people, if you will, so that she can go. And so I was thinking about that, and I stood in the gap for her so that she could go to a wedding, a reception, you know. And I was thinking about, well, you know, that's what God did for me. You know, and I'm thankful for just that I knew what he did for me. And the whole time I was at this wedding, or the reception, the whole time that we are going up until even this morning, I was thinking about that. What I did is just a mirror of what God did for me. And it's a beautiful thing. And then the other thing I'm going to say is I just want to give God some more glory, because I believe I'm going to claim it. I've finally found a place that I can call home. So for the most part, I've been going between my father-in-law and my sisters since the time I've moved out. Wow. And we just found a little humble place, which is fine. I'm just glad to have a roof over my head. And so we're going to go talk to the people tomorrow about finalizing everything. So I'm just claiming it so that I can be out of my sister's hair and et cetera. But I thank God. God's good. Amen.
Oh, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. What key am I on?
Okay, sorry, guys. I thank God for this ministry, for the men that we have here. God bless you, Brother Jay. I highly respect you and how you get behind your pastor, who is the greatest pastor in the world. Oh, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the sin. Jesus. thing before I sit down, and I see you, Brother Mike, there. You know, in the wee hours of the morning, sometimes, you know, I can't sleep. And I take those opportunities to get every. You're not bothered by cooking. You're not bothered by the cares of life. You have time to just think about one thing, and that's the Word of God. I mean, that's what you get your thing on. And that's what the things that are said here, that's what gets me. And, you know, I was thinking about Brother Brown, and I was thinking about the ministry that he had. You know, if he hadn't been obedient to God and did what he did, he would have just been another life. You would never heard of somebody named William Marion Brown. He didn't do what he wanted to do. He wanted to go out there and trap and everything, but God made sure that he did what he had to do, right, and that he had for him to do. And God made sure that he told Brother Childers what he told Brother Childers. Right. And God made sure that all of these different lives in this place, different as they are, he made sure at some point in time you intersected. An intersection is the cross, is the meeting of two different points. He made sure that our lives intersected. But he didn't do it for nothing. He has a reason, and that's where I'm at. I'm waiting to hear this morning where that is. Because he didn't do all that for nothing.
Right.
And if we're the final voice to the final age, he's got something for us to do.
Right.
So he don't ever do anything that he just does it for nothing. So here we are in this time. There's hurricanes. There's things all over the place. There's something going on. And I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to be throwing up a lot of rocks. Because God is doing something, and I'm not going to miss it.
Amen. So we got Sister Sandra, then Sister Teresa, and then Brother Mike.
I just wanted to say these last two songs went exactly with what was on my heart. You know, I stand up, and I've been learning how to do the whole application of the word thing, which, you know, and then, but on top of that, it's, you know, something you guys have been saying for a while that I finally figured out how to do this too, and that is to put everything on the head. And it's hard because there's sometimes I'm like, I can't, you know, all sorts of stuff comes up like it's not right or whatever because, you know, I'm putting everything on my husband. But you know what? That's his job. And even if he drops the ball or he doesn't drop the ball, whatever happens, the act of me being able to do that and letting it go off of me, that's my part. That is my part, and that is something that I can do to help them. And the rest is on him because that's what's supposed to be. And it is so beautiful that I'm able to come here and I'm able to see this. And that, you know, the stuff that, you know, you guys are like, well, if you don't understand or you don't get it or you don't know the scripture, whatever, put it on the shelf, it'll come. It does. It really does. Like, you know, stuff just falls out of the backpack and it just starts going into place. And it's like, you know, it's a work in progress. It is a work in progress that is well worth it because I have faith and I have trust. And you know, one other thing that you guys said that actually it's true. When I do that, when I trust in God and I put it on my husband, expecting God, it's not the man that I'm trusting. It is not. It is the position. It is God and it is the office. And the more I do that, I'm not as anxious as I used to be. I'm not as scared as I used to be. I still have a way to go. But it's helping.
Amen. Amen. Sister Teresa?
I just want to say that I'm glad that I thank God for much more understanding of the Godhead. I didn't understand a lot of it. I was tossed to and fro about it. But now I can say that I have that understanding of how it works. And even though I don't have a husband in the natural, I have a husband regardless.
Right.
And yeah. I still have to come submissive to him regardless. And I'm so glad that I can do that. I'm glad that I can come here and know my part to do what I need to do. And I thank God for giving me that because I don't want to get out here and just do whatever I want to do. I want to do what God says to do. And like what my pastor said to me the other day, he said, even though you don't have a husband at your house, you got a husband here. You still got a head.
You got a leader.
You still got a leader. You're not obsolete just because you don't see him. You're not like he ain't there with you, but you still got one here.
Sure.
So, you know, I just got rejoiced. I rejoice over that because I didn't want to be left out. I just wanted to be just to do my part. And I just thank God that he gave me the revelation of that.
Right.
Because a lot of people, like they've been saying, they don't like headship.
Sure.
And that's beyond them. They want to do it themselves. But I don't want to do it myself. I want to do what God says to do. Because I know for a fact that it will come out all right. Mm-hmm. If I only be obedient to his word. And another thing I want to say is, I want y'all to give a round of applause to Sister Spears. She'll be 87 on Tuesday.
Oh, amen.
87, y'all. 87.
Amen.
God, a lot of people don't make it to 87.
Sure.
They don't make it until their old age. They dying young. And I'm just so glad that God kept her here.
Amen.
She is an elder of this church. And I just want to just have y'all to sing happy birthday to her, because y'all won't see her on Tuesday. And I just like everybody just sing happy birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Spears. Happy birthday to you. She's one of the greatest elders here besides Brother Childers.
Sure.
She's been around the block.
Sure.
So she knows how it works.
Right.
And she loves God from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. She loves him so much.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
With a lot of testimony about headship and putting it together, obviously you have to put it together with an unconditional covenant. I'm in a fortunate position of being in middle management.
Right.
I get to see it on both sides. I have my headship, which is the ministry, the pastor, and then I have a headship in my home.
Right.
And the important thing I remember is when I gave my vows to my wife, I didn't put conditions on any one of them. I gave an unconditional covenant to my wife in marriage. I didn't say, if you do this, I'll do that. No, I'm going to do this regardless. I don't care what you do. Because it's the same covenant God gave me.
Right.
When I sit here, when I rule my house, I try to sit there and say, what would Brother Childers do? Now it's what would Pastor Moore do? How would he treat me so that I'll know how to treat my family and how to deal with things in my house? Because I have a great example, and I want to use that. And I want to say I love this headship because it takes a load off me as well. If there's something that goes on to me, Joy can throw anything she wants on me. That's fine. I can handle it. Because if it gets heavy to me, I'm just going to dump it off onto him. No big deal to me. Bring it. Sis, you got a lot to put on Dwayne? That's fine. He can just dump it right on the Pastor Moore, too. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
The body can handle it. It's not. No one has that big of a load in this place.
Right.
And it reminds me of back in the days of us when we were having to lift those big mats for wrestling. One person ain't going to do it. When you get two people across from each other, two people, you get about eight people lifting all together and working together, it's pretty light. You can't really move it. It's a weird sensation, but it's not a heavy load when everyone works together, moving. That's what this whole thing is. This is all of us working together, moving one great big huge load. And you have to have one person to say, it's time to lift.
Amen.
In the boats, it's time to row. You have to have your captain. You have to have someone leading it, or you're not going to go anywhere. And that's how the whole thing goes. Inside of a house, you have to have one person leading the way. If everyone's yelling out the barking orders, nothing's going to get done. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Lead your house the same way that you're being led, and it becomes so much easier. And like I said, if you're burdened, if you feel it's getting heavy, just go right up to the right chain of command, the person right above you, and just start dumping it up on them and getting their help and their advice. That's what That's what the elders are here for. That's what your brother and sister are here for. That's what the ministry is here for. That's what the pastor's here for. We have all these benefits, and that's part of what to use them for.
Amen.
And it's important to be able to use them. And I'm grateful for every single one of the benefits. I'm grateful for every one of my elders and everyone who's been there for me for years, helping me and has been an example. Even the silent examples that I was able to just watch their lives.
Right.
And it's like, they saw that, and now I saw it, so I'm going to implement that. It's the importance of this entire body ministry, and all you got to do is, if in doubt, just find out what he does, and there's your answer.
Amen. Real quick before Brother Don, because Brother Don, you're going to be the last one. Let me get the announcements. So October the 21st, Reveal Truth Tabernacle has invited us. Brother Eric Covey has invited us to a service at Brother Craig Boer's. They're holding a meeting on October 21st at 7 p.m., which is a Saturday. So the address will be in the back. Then October 27th at 7 p.m., we'll have our fall party at Brother Jeremiah's house at 7 p.m. So those are the two October things going on. And go ahead, Brother Don. I'll give it to you.
You know, so many things go through your mind, especially everybody else testifying.
Sure.
Changes a lot from time to get here.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing that, I mean, it's been headship all the way. That's the only thing been on my mind. It's so important, you know. Without headship, you won't pay attention to the doctor.
Right. Right.
You won't have any confidence in the one speaking if you don't.
Right.
So, but you know, just thinking about human nature, we've got that. We're not beyond it yet. We've got our emotions.
Right.
And it seems like if it's not revelation, it's emotion getting in there somewhere, you know. And the devil knows how to deal with your emotions. He's real good at it. He'll sell you that sweet before he's done.
Yeah.
And you said, nope, don't want it. And before it's over, he'll convince you that you want it.
Right.
But, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by revelation, not by our emotions. And if you can ever get to the place and start to get to the place, you know, they say if you just surrender, you know, sweeter it grows. And more, this sister said, you know, we looked at these examples, the ones that have done it for years and the ones that are just stepping into it. And you see such a great testimony of what they're doing. And that testimony makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just sit there and listen to it, you know, so much, but you're not obligated. But when you make your testimony and you live by it, mm-hmm. when you step out on it, whether you know you're doing it 100% or not, you say, I believe headship. I believe this thing's right.
Right.
I listen to my pastor. I listen to my husband. You know, that helps you get your emotion out of the way later.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing could be said today, is, you know, when this man gets up, we call our pastor. You know, you follow what he says. You know, these songs, you know, these songs that we sang today, you know, they were inspired not by the inspiration of today. You know, they weren't looking to a man. They were looking in outer space somewhere. They were, you know, but here, if you don't have God in a man, you don't have God.
Right.
You don't have God. You won't get God in outer space somewhere. You won't get him home in your prayer closet. It comes through a man. If there's anything you hang on to, not even what you read, not even what you studied, nothing. You want to hang on to a present tense God today. You listen to what this man says today. And hang on to those words with everything you got. That's God. Present tense God. That trumps everything else that you've ever learned, ever thought you learned, ever read, ever spoken to you ever before. This present tense God coming forth today trumps it all. This is the up-to-date. This is the latest quotes.
Right, amen.
This is way after 63.
Right.
This is after last week.
Right.
So if you hang on to this, you know, you'll be kept. You'll be keeping up with God. You'll be dying the way you should die, the way Paul said you die daily. And this is what we die, because our thoughts come every day. Our emotion gets in the way every single day of our life till we get out of here. If you hang on to anything, you hang on to every word this man speaks. And you die to everything else you ever thought. Amen.
Amen. We'll sing one last song.
Amen.
Brother Childress. All right, brother.
I'm sitting here thinking, I bought a farm down in Adams County. And I moved down there. And I was working at General Motors. And it was about close to an hour and a half drive. And guy that lived on my farm had two houses. Stanley Milot. He was living on my farm when I bought it. And so I bought it. And my general foreman says, I want to make you and Stanley Milot part of supervision, foreman. And I said, I don't think I want it. Now he said, I'll send you to school and the company will pay for it. You know, you go to school and get what it take and pay for it. Stand him a lot, he took it. And then he become my foreman. Working in the same department, you see. So he became my foreman. And I don't know where you all know it. I didn't know it. The foreman supervision don't ride together with the laity. Ain't supposed to. So they said, well, you ain't supposed to ride together. But he says, I'm going to let you ride together. So he became my foreman, naturally. Then we rode together. And I said, well, that's all right. I'll do that. He was a good boy. He was a young guy, a lot younger than I was. And so he says, I'll ride. Now, he knew I was a preacher. Stanley Milot knew I was a preacher. And I'd preach all the way, hour and a half drive, up here and back. So here I was, riding with my foreman, him just a young man. And he said, I believe, Brother Earl, what you teach. He said, I believe it. So I preached to him all the way. And so my general foreman says, I want to make both of you a foreman, part of the supervision. I said, Earl, and he was Roman Catholic. And he drank. Red-eyed, you know, where he drank. And he says, I think a lot of you. He said, out of all the supervision, all the preachers that we have here in this department, you're the only one. He called me Reverend. When I come in, he say, how you doing? And so he wanted me to come part of supervision. He stayed there and retired. He was a good fellow, but he liked his drink. And do you know most Roman Catholics, maybe don't know it, they like their drink. They drink a lot. They really do. Because I work with. Here it was, I turned it down. Now he said, Childers, I'll see that you get the schooling you need and the company will pay for it. And it was a pretty good deal in a way. He stayed there and retired, a young man, and he become my foreman. So we got along real good. It just goes to show you, God makes a way, whatever he wants.
Right.
So here it was, my farm, great big farm, almost 100 acres. it was a pretty large 100 acres. I mean, to us, 100 acres to a farmer. Farmer ain't very much. 300 or 400 or 500 acres. But I became part of, so I was really part of supervision and salary paid. You know, they worked it in like that. They said, we want you to be part of this. You're very intelligent. You're very smart. And we can, Brother Childress, we can use you. So it went on. I stayed on my farm about 4 years. Then I moved back up here because it was pretty rough. And I was, we were, well, say, a lot of times 7 days a week, Don, they was really working. And it was always 6 days, if not seven. And I told him, I said, now, I don't want the 7 day because I'm a pastor of a church. And I want to be there. I can't be out all the time and be a pastor. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, Brother Childress, if we don't have to have you, they was working pretty heavy. If we don't have to have you, I'll let you off on Sundays. I'll let you off. But he said, now, every once in a while, we are so loaded that we need you. I said, if you have to help me, I will take it. And so there it was, 7 day a week job, really, but he would let me off quite a bit, at least every 4 Sundays. And I made it and become really part of supervision, even though I didn't get the pay. And they treated me the best. I mean, they really did. My supervision loved me and respected me. I just had it made, Brother Moore, in a way. I took, if I won't take the advantage of it. But I never would like to take the advantage. So Lot lived in one of my houses. He became my foreman. And young boy, he said, Brother Earl, I'm going to take it. Young man, I'm going to take the foreman. So he took it. I stayed on just an employee. 4 years I lived on that farm, and we drove back and forth. We'd rotate. There'd be four or five of us, and, you know, it wouldn't take so much if you rotate, you know. You get a break. So I'd rotate with him, and he lived on my farm. He became my foreman. And we had it made, in a way. Whatever I wanted him, my foreman, I got it. See what I mean? He came out, foreman, young boy. He said, Earl, I'll help you out any way I can. I'll let you off every time I can. And we'll get along fine, he says. Ain't nobody like you. He really took a liking to me. He thought, you are my friend, my best friend. And Earl, anything you want, you make a suggestion and you'll get it. Okay. So here I was, letting him move on my farm. He lived on my farm before I, even before I bought it. Mm-hmm. Now, another little story, and then I'll shut up. Last week, I rented the farm out. I rented it out, the whole thing. It was about 90 acres, tillable. And so this guy that I rented it to lived in seeing distance of my farm. He had a farm. He was a very big farmer. He had a dairy farm. So he said, I want to rent it, the whole thing. But I let him rent it for nothing, frankly. So here we was, standing by the lot, my foreman, and the fellow that rented my farm lived right there. So he sent me word here last week. Sent me word that he heard that I was going to sell my farm, or sell my farm. I sold Mom's farm, me and Bill. Bill went on, never seen it develop. God bless him. I pray that that God blesses him. But here I am, 87 years old, and so I live. He sent me word he wanted to buy my farm. He seeing distance, like I said, and Hardina, they brought me word, said this guy want to buy your farm. And I don't need it no more. And the dog needs a cat for a mate. But anyhow, make the long story short, he says, I want to buy you a farm. Said, I'll give you $300,000 for the farm, Brother Moore. And that's what I almost got. That on my mother's farm. And I thought, Lord, what I'm going to do? I don't need the farm, but I love the farm. It was a good farm. One of the best in Adams County, that size. It was more or less level land. And most of them in Adams County is hill land, not level land. So I said, well, I don't know. Ardina said, Dad, you don't need it. Sell it. Let the man have it. Naturally, I thought on it. And I said, you're right, Ardina. I don't need it. But you know, you're lacking something, but you don't need it, but you like it. It's kind of hard to see.
Sure.
So I'm in the tricks between. I haven't seen him word. The girls, they talked to him, said, we'll talk to Dad about selling you that farm. I said, I don't need it. And I don't need it. And I said, I give $32,000 for that farm back when I bought it. And that's been several years ago. And I give, like I say, $32,000. I built one house on it, and my dad and mom moved in that house, and they stayed in that house till my dad died in that house. mother called me, said, Earl, said, run down here, said, Cecil's dying. Well, I jumped in my car, and I drove as fast as I could drive. And when I got there, he was sitting in his rocking chair, dead. My mother thought he just passed out. But when I went in the door, I could tell by looking that my dad had died. So here it was. My mother said, he's passed out. I said, Mom, he's gone. He's left here. So here I was. And he just died like that. And it's hard when you love somebody to give them up. So I said, Mom, I gotta give him up. He's gone. He's gone. And so the long story short, I've worked. I've made it. God has blessed me. I got anything I wanted. My girls, my boys. I lost two boys, and that just about killed me for a while. Two of my boys. I love my children, you know. And so I said, okay, I got to go on. That's one thing you got to make your mind up. When you lose somebody, you can't go with them. You gotta go on. Here I am, 87 years old, and I'm going on. Now I don't know what I'm gonna do with the farm. I said I probably will let him have it. I probably will, because I don't need it. It's something sometimes. Have things and you don't need it. Right? It's kind of bad to have something. I had two wives, but I needed them. The farm, I don't need. My mother left me Bill, her farm, and I didn't need it. And I thought, okay. I take care of Mom's farm, and I told the girls, and Bill, see, Bill was sick almost 2 years, pretty bad sick. I took care of the Mom's farm. Bill said, Earl, you'll have to handle it. Done. I can't handle it. I said, Bill, I'll take care of it. So I took care of her farm, and God bless me. And we got way up the road. I thought, okay, they priced the farm. The guy said, I'll give you 2,070. So I said, okay, give me raise it to 2,085. I said, I'll take it. The guy said, I bought it. So he bought that one. Here I got this one. And I'm saying, should I counter him or should I just say, you got it? Well, children, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know. But God has blessed me. and give me what I wanted. And so I hope y'all make it and get blessed as good as I've been blessed. I have been blessed beyond. Right in the day when I didn't need it. Now, I could have used it back when I was 30, 40 years old. I could have used it, but I don't even need what I've got. And I'm thinking, Lord, what should I do? Help me make the right decision. So y'all pray.
Sure.
Y'all pray that God helps me make the right decision. I didn't make the farming. I didn't take the farming, and I didn't want it. You know, I told him, I told my supervision, I said, these guys like you, and you'll get along good with them. I said, until I make farming. You know, you get along pretty good until you get something that they don't go along with you. So here it is. But I battled it out, Don, and I made it, and I got anything I wanted. And I'm the type of guy that don't want a lot. I could have a new car every year if I wanted. I don't even want it. That car that I'm driving, 95, and I could, I about wore it out in a way, almost 100,000. But God has blessed me. Here I'm standing with you, fellas. Standing with Brother Moore, and he's become my boss. As Stanley Malott, he said, well, I'm going to stay in this apartment, and I'm going to be your foreman. And you will get anything you want. You'll have. Well, make the long story short, I'm still here.
Amen.
And I'm here with you, Brother Moore.
Amen.
And you become my foreman. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Take care of me now, because I ain't going to be here too long.
Right.
Amen.
So take care of me and let me pick what I want. Choose what I want. So,
amen.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless, Brother Childers. Page 191. God has smiled on me.
Keep you.
God bless, Brother Childers.
Pick what I want.
Pick what you want. Just take all the Sundays off you need.
Yes, God hath He smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
A light unto.
A light unto my path is He. Without Him I would fall. I don't know what He is to you, but to me He's my all in all.
God.
Oh, He's smiling. me. Yes, he's been good to me. God has smiled. Yes, God has. Oh, he smiled on me.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be gathered together this morning. Lord, you've been so good to us. You brought us to your house. You kept us, Lord. You kept us healthy. You kept us safe. You let us enjoy birthdays and give us year after year. Lord, we give you the praise and honor for that. Lord, as we gather here this morning, we've laid the word out before the people, Lord, but it takes you to reveal it to them. I ask you to come and speak to our hearts this morning. Move both the speaker and the hearer aside that, Lord, you might get the glory out of everything that's said and done. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take this opportunity to wish Eula, my sister, a moment to say something. I've never known her to be without words.
Good morning. And it is just an honor, a privilege, and a blessing to be here this morning. And I do try every time I come to our annual homecoming to make it. And of course, he was right again. I was late. I was like, I'm not going to be late. But, you know. But I'd like to say that it's always a good feeling to be in this house, in God's house. Mm-hmm. Your spirit among you is just, it's so refreshing to be here.
Amen.
And it's always great to see my brother on the stand and get the word from my blood. So I just wish everybody a beautiful Sunday. And again, thank you for having me in the house of God, and I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. Good to have you here, Eula. Now, I know Melanie's tuning in, so dry your tears, Mel. She cries all the time. So it's good to be here. And she's going to get me now. It's good to see you all amongst us here. And it's good to be in the house. It's an interesting time. Hurricane Nate's heading up. I told him, I said, I could have been a lot worse. I was only in Category 2. but it's an interesting time. This is the third one in the last 6 weeks or so. It's crazy. People look crazy trying to figure out how they can kill the most people. That's the new game, is how many I can get. Not, you know, that spirit was loose. And I said it years ago on Columbine. When Columbine, those boys did what they did in Columbine, they loosed a spirit in this country, and it's never been the same. And now they're looking at how many we can get. It doesn't even matter what. It's just evil. You know, the world is gone. People are gone. They have no regards for life at all. So I'm just glad that, you know, that we have something that we can look to. We have hope. When the world doesn't have hope, we have hope. Amen. We have the word, and we're resting. You know, in the middle of what was going on in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Amen. And it doesn't matter how bad it gets. The worse it gets, the better it gets. Amen. You know, a light is only brighter as it gets darker. So as the hour gets bad, the light that you are carrying will only get brighter. So it's good to be here. We've been talking on some doctrines, and I told Joe, I texted him yesterday, I said, I think what I'd like to do is on our web page to put a separate page, and all these messages that we're talking on doctrine, I want it on that separate page, because our regular service pages, it rotates out once a year or so. So I don't want this to get lost in the rotation. So I told him we'll create a page or just the doctrines that we're talking on. Because we've been hitting a lot of doctrines, a lot of good things, and I mean, it's an eye-opener. Amen. And it's the most important thing we could have.
Yes. Could you really say that I'm a doctrine preacher?
If we can't say that by now, these things that we've been talking on, and all these doctrines, and I don't even know
how God has dwelled in me
and brought all these doctrines. Because, all these doctrines that we're hitting were doctrines that came in 1973 when he come and straightened it all out. And now we're going through, and we're going over it, not that we don't know it, but there are people who haven't really sat under the doctrine, the teaching of the doctrine, because we don't hit it head on like we're doing now. We normally don't. Everything we preach is doctrine. I mean, it gets mixed in there together. But we're pulling out certain points that you would normally just hear in passing and pointing out to the fact that these are doctrines that make the difference in what we even believe. And it's the doctrine that makes you or breaks you. Because you could be a Christian and not have any doctrine, but you won't be strong. You won't be a strong Christian. You'll be a weak Christian. And I don't mean weak as in wimpy. I mean weak as in, you know, you're only as strong as the knowledge that you have.
Right.
You know, if you don't read the Bible, if you say, well, I believe the Bible, if you never read it, you don't know what's in it.
Right.
And it's the same with if you say you believe something and you can't break it down or can't even talk to it, or you could take it by faith, but you won't be strong. You know, faith only is good until something comes into sight. And once it becomes real to you, it's not by faith, it's by revelation. And doctrine is given to you by faith originally, but by your revelation, by God personally revealing it to you, then it's not by faith. That's by sight, by understanding. So I clearly understand the doctrines of the Bible. I really do. And as we have broken these down for the last few weeks, and we've been on this, I don't even know how long now, and it's been, seemed like just week after week after week. And I, like I said last week, I said, I like titling them the doctrine of, just so that it'll stand out when somebody's trying to find out something particular, one particular doctrine. We've been hitting them and hitting them and hitting them. And so that's why I want to put them together in one location so that we can always, if anybody wants to know a particular doctrine, they can refer back to that particular message. So that's good. Now, we've had an accident here. And as you can see, our church has taken on water since last. Somewhere along the line between Wednesday night service this wasn't like this, and between Wednesday and Thursday, probably Thursday, that somewhere along the line, somebody had run, the kids in the neighborhood had run through the valley, and it cracked all the ceiling, the roof tile. And so the rain just poured in on us on Thursday and did some major damage. And it's a shame, because now, because of that, the insurance is going to have to put a whole new roof on the back part of the church. They're going to have to take all of the paneling down and replace it, or we'll paint it, or whatever. It's a shame. So we're getting ready to get a new roof, and we're gonna do some updating in here. So you're gonna see over the next, I don't know how long it's gonna take, but the children have done the damage, so we're gonna have to pay for it. So God moves in mysterious ways. I was planning on putting a new roof on next year anyway, so it just moved up my timetable a little bit. But that's what happened. It was water damage, and right now we have things that's drying it out, so that'll be dried out, and they'll come back Monday and get their machines and things. And amen. I still believe Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. So we'll be doing some things around here, so you might be seeing some changes here in the near future. Brother Covey had called, and there's a church in Springboro. Yeah, Springboro, your neck of the woods, that invited us to a meeting that they're going to have down there. And I put it up back there on the board. I'm probably going to go on Saturday night just to go. It's a field trip, you know, opportunity. We don't get invited much, so I thought I'd go. So I hung it up on the board back there, put the directions and the church name and all that information. So if you're interested in going, I was thinking it was the last week when we're going to be at Jeremiah's, and I was going to say I can't go, but then I found out it's a week before, so I could make it. So that's coming up. Now, I need to get started, because we got things to talk on, and we'll be ready to move on. I appreciate the things that were said this morning on headship from last week's message. You know, headship is a tough message, and it's not really tough. We have scarecrowed ourselves to believe it's tough, but it's not. It's just submission to God's word. Whatever God wants, he can have. That's simply how it works. And I appreciated James' message on Wednesday and trust in God. Trust in him. Just have faith in him. Trust and believe him. If God says it, or he brings it, he's going to bring you to it, and he'll bring you through it. He's got it. Our biggest problem is we don't really trust God. We really don't. We talk about trusting him, but we really don't trust him, because the first thing that comes our way, we're wondering, why, Lord, why? What's happened? What's wrong here? You know, and we fall back to that old self-preservation, take care of yourself, and not realizing that God's got the whole thing. Amen. I mean, if the more you can realize that God has the whole thing, the more you should be able to rest. when you're concerned, I mean, it's just like this wall here. You know, if I come in here and pass out, oh, what have they done? Well, that's good. No, God's doing something, you know. And when you're looking at it like that, it's no big deal. God's doing something. I'm with whatever God wants. Whatever God wants, I want. You say, well, sometimes it costs you. Yeah, it does. But you know what? I'm willing to pay the price. You say, it's easy to say that. It's not easy to say that. Because usually when you say that, it costs you, and you got to follow through with it. And so I'm not light. I don't say that lightly. I've had situations come in my life where you look at it, and you look like you should just be tore up and this and that and the other. But you look at it, and you realize God's got this. When God has it, then you don't have to fear. So I want to go back over to the scripture this morning, to John chapter 6. I want to start reading here. Got a few things I want to talk on and a few things I want to read. Chapter 6 of John. That's the easy book to find. Starting at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which hath he, all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, I want to talk this morning on the doctrine of eternal security. This is one of those that Jeremiah calls the fun ones. He made a promise there. But the thing is, people don't believe the promise.
Yeah.
When you're talking about God's plan, it's bigger than just God creating somebody, winding him up, setting him out here, and watching to see what he's going to do. That's how some people think God does it. They think that God just wind us up and turn us loose and may the best man win. And if you find God, you get to go to heaven. And if you don't find God, you got to go to hell. That's the way we look at it. We look at this so short-sighted, but the plan was bigger than us just down here doing our thing. Jesus said over here, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It wasn't even a question. It wasn't maybe. It wasn't somehow. So, number one, God has to give you to Jesus in order for you to come. You can't even come to God just because you decide you're going to come to God. It doesn't work that way. Churches all over the world are telling people today, come and make up your mind, give your heart to Christ, and become a Christian. And it's like, you can't give God something like that. If God doesn't call you, you can't come. I mean, that's something that people don't want to hear, because you know why people don't want to say that? It's because they want numbers. They want people to come, and they don't really want to, you know, as long as the numbers are coming, the people are coming in, and they're getting their offering and all that stuff, then they're happy. Yeah. You'll have made it in time for offering today. I was happy. I got a tickle because she had just sat down, and that offering plate came right in front of her. She's like, oh. Now, most people would be happy to do that. But I've got to be honest with you. Unless God brings you, you can't come.
Right.
Right. You can't give God nothing.
You can't give him anything. He owns it all anyway.
Right, he owns it all.
And when people come to church, we as preachers are doing them a disservice when we try to tell them that they got to come and give God something.
Yeah. Right.
You can't give God anything.
Oh, can't give God.
You can't. You. No man can say that Jesus is even a Christ except for by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So you can say you believe all you want, but if God doesn't put that faith there, you can't believe.
Right.
So the simple part of this is all that the Father has given me. Number one, God, you've got to be given by God.
Right.
And Jesus can't even do anything for you unless God tells him that you are one of them.
Right.
You say, you sound like a Trinitarian. I know how to ride the Godhead out.
Right.
I know how it works.
Amen.
I know that Jesus was a manifestation of God. And in that office of Jesus, he could do nothing outside of what God actually gave him to do. Does it make it a second person? No. It's just a manifestation of the mind of God brought down through Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And so, all that the Father has given me, there's a real point there. It has to be given.
Right.
You can't just come. You can't just offer. All the Father has given me, all of them.
Yeah. Right.
Every last one of them.
That's right.
If God loses one, it's done on purpose. Jesus said, I lost one. I lost none except for the son of perdition.
Amen.
And he really didn't lose him. He just used him.
Right.
Son of perdition never was a son of God.
Right.
Never Amen. Was a son of God.
And never will be.
And never will be the son of God. Amen. See, the thing is, either you're a son of God or you're not.
That's right.
The church will try to make everybody not a son of God. And then you come to church and you get convinced. And then you become a son of God. That ain't the way it works. Because ye are sons.
Right.
Amen.
I got too many scriptures.
Right.
Because the only reason the Spirit come to you is because you're a son.
Amen.
Why do you think?
You can't become something you already are.
You cannot become a son if you're not. And you cannot become not a son if you are.
Yeah.
That's why Brother Childers has said for years, I can't live good enough to make it, or I can't live bad enough to miss it. Why? Because it's not about your making it or missing it. It's about a sonship. All that the Father has given me will positively come. You will come. If you belong to God, you will come.
Amen.
You might come without a leg. You might come without an arm. You might come without an eye. You might have whatever it takes to get you here. You will come. Because you belong to him.
Right.
My children belong to me no matter what.
Amen.
No matter what, they belong to me. It's a blood tag that tells who you belong to. So all that the Father has given to Jesus will come. They will come. It wasn't even a question. Jesus didn't take a chance dying on Calvary hoping that somebody's going to come back to him. There wasn't a lottery that maybe the church was going to make it or not. There was a whole plan in place. There was a time and a purpose for everything. And so you can't come unless you're part of God anyway. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me. All which he has given me, I should lose nothing. You say, I backslid and I left the church. If you did backslide and leave the church, you weren't his. I mean, because how are you going to overpower God? How are you going to be stronger than God? How is your will going to be stronger than the will of God? It ain't going to happen that way. So the reality of it is, if you have a pull in your heart for God, It's because God put that there.
Amen.
If you can understand the word of God, it's because God revealed it to you. If you love the word of God, it's because God put something in you to love the word of God. That's the way it works. It's not the way that they're teaching us. It's not about, oh, I've come and I heard how my grandmother prayed for me and how my mother prayed for me, and now I'm going to go and give my heart to God because they've done such hard work to try to get me saved. That ain't the way it works.
No.
Oh, my goodness. That's why sometimes taking field trips are good, because you hear a lot. When they do the altar calls, those altar calls are to come and get you saved. Those altar calls are coming to give you an opportunity to come and join the church. You can't join the church. That's like saying today, I'm going to join your family, Nate. You can't join my family. You don't have my blood.
Amen.
If you don't have the more blood flowing through your veins, then you're not a Moor.
Right.
I'm sorry. As much as you might like the Moors, a lot of people love the Moors. They want to go on vacation with us. They want to eat with us. They like to hang around with us. That's good. That's fine. That's dandy. But you're not Moors.
Right.
That's the way it is with God. There's a lot of people that want to hang around God. They want to be called by his name. They want to be a son of God or daughter of God, but they didn't come from God. And if you didn't come from God, you can't go to God.
Right. Amen.
Oh, boy. All right. We get in there now. Job. I'm not going to go there. Just going to quote it. Job 38, 1 through 5 is when God was asking Job. Job thought he was doing something. God told him, Job, where were you? When the sons of God shouted for joy. See, you got to come from the mind of God. If you don't come from the mind of God, you can't go back to the mind of God. Job, where were you? Ask him a hard question. Job thought his little friends were trying to tell him, Job, you've done something. You've done this. You've done that. And Job was believing them. And Job was like, man, I'm sick because I didn't do the right thing. I didn't do good. And God's cursing me, and he's giving me. And God's like, what are you talking about, Job? This story's bigger than you and your neighbors. It's not about you. I got a plan, Job. And my plan comes from my mind. See, God had a plan in his mind from before the foundation of the world. God ain't shooting from the hip right now. He's not trying to make it happen. It's already happened. Do you realize that lamb was slain before the world was even here? Why? Because God in his mind had already slain the lamb for a sinner who didn't even sin yet. We think it was an accident in the garden. Oh, if only Adam and Eve wouldn't have ate that. You know what? I got tickled the other day. I was sitting in the doctor's office, and we were in Chicago, and these two young men were in there, and I think they're trying to convert people, because actually one of them was sick. He was there to see the doctor, and that they were in the waiting area, and I'm sitting there. And the one comes around, and he starts talking to this man who's in a wheelchair under blankets trying to stay warm. And he's from Moody. They were both from Moody Bible Institute. And I was thrilled because I know Moody Bible Institute and all that stuff and Unshackled. You know, I'm an old Unshackled fan. We used to listen to that when we were kids. Unshackled. Love it. I still listen to it. And so these two guys from Moody is running around in the room there. And the one started talking to the one, and I got tickled because he started talking about the fall, because the guy that was not a believer, he's like, I don't understand why I got with this. And then I got tickled because the young man, who's a very smart, educated man, is standing there explaining to him how that Adam and Eve were in the garden, and if they hadn't taken that apple, they would have been fine. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is the best we got. I'm like, this is Moody Bible Institute. They breathe and live in just Bible, Bible, Bible. And I thought, they're as smart as they are and dumb as a box of rocks.
Right.
An apple caused all of this. And I thought, no, Lord, they don't have it right. They got it so mixed up. God is not just accidentally doing this.
Right.
He planned the entire thing. He planned the fall because in himself that he needed to manifest.
Right.
You can't even talk about God without talking about his attributes.
Right.
God had within himself the ability to be God.
Amen.
Wasn't even God.
Right.
Had the ability to be a redeemer. Had the ability and the attribute to be a healer,
yeah,
a savior. On and on and on and on. All these things were in God. I look at myself. When I was a young boy, I had an attribute in me to be a father,
right,
and a husband.
Right.
I had the attributes in me, but I didn't know it. It wasn't manifested and it wasn't evident. But there came a time in my life, yes, I became a father.
Right.
There came a time in my life I became a husband. I'm a brother. I'm a preacher.
Amen.
I'm a pastor. There's many attributes that we have in ourselves,
right,
that at certain points in your life, in that period of time, will manifest itself. And it's the same way with God. God had attributes in himself that had to be manifested, and in order to manifest those attributes, he had to run a play.
Right.
And in that play was everything he wanted to display. So Job thought he was just making a mess of things and thought he messed things up. And God said, Job, where were you?
Right.
Before the foundation of the world, when the sons of God were shouting for joy.
Amen.
Now, how does that work? Sons of God weren't even weren't even there.
Right.
But they were shouting for joy. You know where they were doing that? In the mind of God.
Right.
God had already put that plan together. They were already part of his plan. They were already redeemed. They were already, the salvation already taken. Remember, the lamb was slain before the foundation. Where? In the mind.
Right.
Sons of God shouted for joy. Where? In the mind.
Amen.
God had a plan.
Right.
It all, he always had a plan.
Uh-huh.
They didn't surprise him. This world, as bad as it is, does not surprise God. God had a plan in the midst of all this junk we see out here. God still has a plan. And his truth is still marching on.
Amen.
His plan is very much active. And God has his plan just moving right on with his people.
Amen.
So that's why I asked Job that. Okay, now, Brother Branham said here, Christ the mystery said, now God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it. And in order to let himself be expressed, because first, there wasn't even a moon, a star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship and there wasn't nothing to worship him. Before God was God, he was Elohim, the self-existing one. He was back there by himself with nothing to worship him.
Right.
God is an object of worship, and before he created angels, he couldn't even be worshipped.
Right.
So the first thing he created was angels. He created them so that he could be God. So that he created angels, and he come down and created us, and then he could be our Savior, our Redeemer. But all these things were all in God before he was God.
Amen.
So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love. In him was to be father. In him was to be son. In him was to be a savior. In him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see expressed, they were in God. So in my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. And then they worshiped him, and they made, and that made him God. And he started from there. And in previous messages, I've tried to explain it, break it down, and now then when angels began to worship him, that was before there was ever a molecule on earth. That's how far back we're talking. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun, no moon, no stars, nothing. Then he was God. And he asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? See, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. See, now, see where we are? Where were you? See? That's way back before the earth. So if you want to talk about God's plan of redemption, you got to go way back there to figure out how it works. And in that plan, which remember we're talking about eternal security, in that plan there had to be something that included you and I.
Right.
Because God ain't winging it. He purposely made you. See, a lot of times we try to change who we are. We try to change how we're made. We try to make ourselves better. We try to improve on this thing. But God made you exactly how he wanted you. Some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us are skinny, some of us are fat, some are light, some are dark. God made you like he wanted you. Some are short-tempered, some are patient beyond. Every bit of you has been made by God. And the thing that we always trying to do is drag people into church and change them. That's the first thing we do. We bring them in here and the first thing, oh, you can't dress like that. Oh, you can't look like that. Oh, you can't. You gotta dress like me. You got to act like me. And the first thing we try to do is change everything that God worked so hard to get here. And we didn't like them and we didn't like ourselves. If God, you know what? If it were my changing, if I had something to say about it, I would make me somebody y'all wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even recognize it. If I had something to say. So God didn't ask us. He didn't ask us what our thoughts were on how we wanted to be made. God made us like he saw us in his mind from before the foundation of the world. And we've had the hardest time with that because we want to cookie cut everybody and make everybody exactly the same. When you're not exactly the same, God's made you special.
Right.
Because he wants to use you to do a special thing that nobody else can do.
Right.
And when you do what you do, you will be the very expression of God on earth, manifesting what he had in his mind about you from before the foundation of the world. And you can do no less, and you can do no more. So all the worrying you do, all the changing that you do, won't do a thing to change God's mind about his word. So the best thing y'all could do is leave me alone. See, y'all thought I was going to say y'all. Leave me alone. God's made me, and I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Change me. If God wants me changed, he changed. There's so many things about me that God's changed that ain't even funny. But he's tweaked me to fit what he wants.
Amen.
Not my will, but thine be done. He's made me to his likeness and to his desire because he's got a specific thing for me to do and you can't do it.
Amen.
That's the way it works. And we've been so busy trying to trash each other, trash ourselves. I ain't no good. You know what? There's that sign that says, such a worm as I. You know, we don't mind calling ourselves a worm, but don't you call me one. We'll tell ourselves we're no good, we're this, we're rotten, we're this. But you tell me I'm no good and I'm rotten. It got a different flavor.
Yeah.
You know, so God's made you just right. Quit trying to change.
Amen.
Quit trying to adjust. When God wants to change something, he'll change it.
Right.
He's been able to do it all the way through. Now, John chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. There are people, contrary to popular belief, there are people on this earth that cannot be saved. We preachers can't say that because it puts us out of business. We don't want to bring everybody in, make everybody think they're going to heaven, and everybody ain't going to heaven. We want to bring everybody in and act like they're all sheep. They're not all sheep.
Right.
We're trying to make everybody feel like they're going. Everybody's not going. Jesus ran across them, and if he ran across them, and if Jesus Christ couldn't save them, what you gonna do? There are people that Jesus could not save. Now, I'm still talking on the doctrine of eternal security, because there are some people that cannot be eternally secured.
Right.
It's hard to think about it.
Amen.
But there are people who are not eternal. They will not live eternally.
Right.
They are not eternal.
Right.
The definition of eternal, I love it. I love the way Brother Branham described that.
Yeah.
The definition, the very word eternal, is never having a beginning and never having an end. That's eternal.
Yeah.
And there's only one form of eternal life.
Amen.
That's God's own life.
Right.
So in order for you to do anything eternal, you have to have God's life.
Right.
That's why hell is not eternal.
Right. Amen.
That's why the lake of fire is not eternal. Anything that has a beginning will have an end. You are not going to go to the lake of fire and burn for eternity. You can't. If you did burn in lake of fire for eternity, then you've always burnt for eternity. It never started and it'll never end.
Amen.
The very definition is contrary to what they try to teach us.
Right.
And they say you're going to burn and burn and burn for eternity. You can't burn for eternity.
Right.
Hell is not eternal.
No.
Though they try to make it eternal, it's not eternal. Matter of fact, my Bible, I don't know about your New American Standard, but my Bible says that hell will be cast into the lake.
Amen.
It'll be done away with. Do you know what that eternal fire is? It's God. He'll consume anything that's not eternal. How does he do that? Just say, I don't remember you no more. He'll do you just like he did your sins. How did he get rid of your sins? He threw it in a sea of forgetfulness. I remember you no more.
Amen.
How's he going to get rid of all those people that are not his sheep? I remember you no more.
Amen.
The absence of God is the absence of life.
Amen.
Oh my. Okay. My sheep hear my voice. Can't help it. Can't help it. Can't get away from it. You say, I don't want it. I don't want it. You believe it's right? Yeah, it's right, but I don't want it. See, that's our problem. This word kills us.
Yeah.
It chews us up. It tells us how what we need to do, change. Oh, it just rakes us over the coal. Brother Childers raked me over the coal. But you know what? Because I am sheep, I have to say it's right. I may not like it, but like doesn't come from the soul. Like comes from the spirit realm. Things you like and you don't like, I may not like it, but I have to say it's the truth. The sheep will always agree with the word. You can't help it. Your very DNA is made up of belief. You can't turn down the word. You can't deny the word. You can't say it's not right. You can't do it because you belong to him. I might be all messed up and have everything wrong, but when you tell me the truth, even in my mess, even in my disastrous life, I will still stand up and say, it is nothing but the truth. Why? Because I'm sheep. Sheep recognizes the word. Sheep hears the word and says, bah, that's the truth. That is nothing but the truth. I gotta agree with it. As hard as it is, as much as it's easier to go the other way, the sheep will stand up and identify with the word because they come from God. That's why I don't have to baby y'all around here. You're either going to take it or you're not. You're either going to believe it or you're not. Either you're a sheep that come from God or you can't go anyway. And why am I going to waste my time with somebody who cannot believe anyway? That's no way to pass a church. That's why your church is empty. I'd rather have an empty church with just sheep than full of things that aren't sheep. I'd rather be able to preach the truth and not compromise and stand on the word of God than have a house packed full of unbelievers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. You didn't stick up here and say, who are you again? No, Jeremiah, right here, right on time. You got here, okay, right. And that's where I wanted you. I know them. God knows everyone that's going to come to him. Everyone, you don't sneak in on him. You don't decide. You say, oh, well, I'm giving my heart. You can't give him that. He knows you. He set up the circumstances to get you under the word.
Amen.
He did. He called you. He pulled you. Out of all the places you could be today, why are you here?
Right.
Out of all the preachers you could be listening to today, why do you come and hear this little nobody? He knows you. And I know them, and they follow me. I don't have to worry about you.
Right.
See, I don't want to. I don't like them. I don't like your church. I don't like this. I don't like that. Go. Don't follow me. I tried one time to herd everybody together, and God told me, quit that. Just lead. You lead, and my sheep will follow.
Amen.
And we took off. I said, fasten your seatbelt, church. And we took off. A lot of people fell this way. A lot of people fell that way. A lot of people didn't make it, Brother Childers. But you know what? The sheep did.
Amen.
They follow. The sheep will always follow. They shall follow me. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal meaning no beginning and no end. So somehow, for you to have eternal life, you've got to have a part of God in you all the way through. You're not getting God. You're just awakening the God that's in you. Otherwise, you couldn't have eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can separate me. You say, well, they said, well, your church ain't going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you say. No man can pluck you out of my hand.
Right.
Say, you don't look like you a Christian. No man can pluck you out of my hand.
Right.
Well, you don't deserve to go. You're right, but no man.
Amen.
I get to go because he said I could go. I don't get to go because I'm worthy of it. I don't get to go because I've made you happy. I don't get to go because I've done everything right. I get to go because God saw me from before the foundation of the world and said I can go. You can't pluck me out of his hand. Ain't going to lose me. Now we're talking about some real security. When you talk about that kind of security, Brother Childers, you can stop worrying about whether I'm going to heaven or not. I'm not worrying about whether I'm going to get there or not. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all.
Right.
What you going to do? Who are you going to call? Who are you going to tell on me?
Right.
Where are you going to stick it? You say, well, I know you sin. Where are you going to stick it?
Right.
Sin is applied to the soul. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. My soul don't sin. My soul comes from God and is going to God. It's perfect.
Amen.
You say, well, I'll apply it to your house. Apply it. That's going back to the dust. Well, I'll put it on your spirit. Apply it. It's going back to the God that gave it. Soul won't take it. So if you come from God, there's a part of you that's already eternal when you are born naturally into this world. There's a part that's in you that come from the mind of God that God already foreknew. God already made a way. He already planned. Matter of fact, God planned for you to be here in this day.
Amen.
He has something for you to do in this day. He's not trying to figure it out. He already figured it out. He figured it out before the world began. That's why the Lamb was slain. That's why the names were transferred on the Book of Life to the Lamb's Book of Life. When?
Amen.
It was a finished work before it started.
Right.
Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate it. Why? When? Before they did any good or evil. Before they decided to be a sheep. Before they decided to follow me. Before they messed up and did this and did that. I've already loved one and already hated the other.
Amen.
God's not just now deciding who he loves and hates.
Amen.
He's greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And my I and my Father are one. My. Okay. No. I'm just going to keep going here. All right. Whosoever believes, you already have eternal life. You are not coming to church to get eternal life. I don't give one person eternal life when they come here. And it wouldn't be eternal. Our own language contradicts what we believe. John chapter 3, the verses that everybody around the world reads, but nobody understands. John 3, let's just start with verse 13. And no man has ascended. I love this because I just got an understanding this recently, just a year or so ago. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven. If you didn't come from heaven, you can't go to heaven. You say, I want to go to heaven. Did you come from there? If you didn't come from there, brother children, you can't go.
Right.
I could preach to you blue in the face. If you didn't come from there, you can't go there. The scripture says no man can go to heaven, but he that come down from heaven. Even, including the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Right.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. Have.
Right.
Eternal life. Already have it.
Right.
You already have it. You're not trying to get it. You're not trying to work it up. You're not trying to quit doing this and quit doing that and straighten this up and straighten that up. Had a guy told me one time, he said, I'll come to your church as soon as I kick this girl out of my house and I stop doing this and I stop doing that and I stop doing this and I stop doing that. And I said, well, why are you going to come? Why bother? You did such a good job. You don't need God. You can do it yourself. You don't need it.
Right.
He doesn't want you to come in after you fix it.
Right.
Why repair your car and then take it to the shop?
Amen.
All right. Now, one form of eternal life and investments, Brother Brim said, it's eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's only one form. You can't have two or three or four. There's not three or four. You know, people were, years ago, they were asked the question, you know, what's the difference going to be between the bride and everybody else who gets to go to heaven? And we're such ladder climbers, it just kills me. Somebody's got to be on top. Somebody's got to be in the lead. Somebody's got to be first. Somebody's got to be the boss. Somebody's got to be, they're like, what's the difference going to be between us and the rest of the people? Because we're going to have the bride, we have eternal life. And so what's going to, there ain't no difference. Eternal life is eternal life. The people on earth are going to be just as happy as the people in the city. They're going to be happy to be on earth and bring the leaves and the fruits into the city once a month. They're going to be happy to be on earth enjoying eternal life.
Yeah.
Our lovers are going to be happy to be enjoying eternal life. They're not going to be looking at you jealous. You're not going to get backstabbed in heaven because you're the bride and I'm not.
Right.
They don't worry. Eternal life. It's God's own life in everybody.
Right.
The scripture says he'll be all in all. It's not going to be some going to be better than others. People going to be jealous because I'm the bride and you're not, and I'm only the foolish virgin. And why did God call me foolish? We're not going to be jealous like that over there. All that jealousy stuff is here. All that ladder climb is here. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You won't have people standing on the sideline like that.
Amen.
God's own life, one form of eternal life. It's God all in all. The foolish virgin, our loved ones, our family, our friends, babies, everybody that's going to be there will have that same life in them. Amen. Question was asked for me, just like it was asked Brother Branham. Will all babies go to heaven? All babies that have eternal life will go to heaven. All the predestinated seed of God will go to heaven. Not all babies, but all of them that are predestinated to eternal life will go to heaven. That's how you answer that. All right. Eternal life has no beginning. When you receive eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. That's the Greek word Zoe. Is that right, brother? It says Zoe, God's own life. So you being a son, you become a part of that life, so the life that's in you never did begin and never can end. So it gives you a new perspective about even coming to the house of God. I ain't coming here to get eternal life. I got that. I come here to figure out how to get through this life. You know, that's what I do, is try to help y'all through this life. I ain't worried about your glorified body. It'll take care of itself.
Amen.
You don't need to rebuke my glorified body. You need to rebuke this one on this side. I need to be taught here how to make it through this life, how to look at things right, how to understand things right, how to even understand eternal security, how to really be able to rest in who I am. That's what I need on this side. I don't need it over there. When I get to heaven, it'll be obviously I'm going to go to heaven. You don't need any faith once you get there. You know, faith is only first till it's manifested. When I get to heaven, I ain't going to have faith to go to heaven. All right. Now, I want to read this. 1 John chapter 3. I know this right here is a lot of reading, but I was actually going after one verse, but I looked up and I thought, well, I got to include that. And I looked up a little more. I better include that. And I kept going. I thought, oh, my, this is 10 verses. 1 John chapter 3, starting verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love that he should just call us his sons. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. There are people who don't know who we are. See why I had to start with one? Because I kept going up. That's important too. They don't know him and they don't know you. They don't know who we are. If they knew Jesus, the scripture says if they knew who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him. If that lady in that parking spot behind you cussing you out knew who you were, she wouldn't know it. They don't know who you are. Beloved, now are we the sons. Now. We're not going to be. We are now. We're sons of God now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. You know, a lot of people read that and they want to go to work. Stop drinking. Stop smoking. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. I got to get pure. The scripture says the best you can do is filthy rags. So it ain't talking about you working up something. It's talking about being purified by the Word.
Right.
What he's done, his plan, what you believe in by faith in what he's done for you.
Right.
When God said, be ye holy, that wasn't a question. That was a declared statement. Just like he said, let there be light. Let there be light. Right. Be ye holy. What's the difference? Nothing. When God says it, when God says purify yourself, you're pure. It's by his word. And you having faith in the word. See, we don't understand the importance of faith. Faith makes the word.
Right.
The word move. It makes things happen. If you have, it's not the word that heals you. It's your faith in the word that heals you. When you have faith in the word has to do something. So we have faith that there is going to be a rapture. So there will be a rapture. Because we have faith for it. We have faith that we are sons of God. So we are sons of God. Other people don't even have that faith. They don't believe that. Now, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And we won't even get into sin. That's a whole nother doctrine. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin. Not everybody's sin. Our sins. And in him is no sin. No unbelief at all. If you disbelieve, that is sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. If you're in him, there is no unbelief there. There is no sin there. So what are you worrying about? Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. They've never seen God. The reason that they can treat us like they treat us is because they don't see God. That's the way it works. If they knew who we were, brother Childers, they wouldn't do it. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He became our sin that we become his righteousness. Because I have faith in the cross. See how important faith is?
Right.
Oh, I could go off on faith right now. But because I have faith in what he's done for me, I can believe, and then he will do it because I believe it. That's the way it works. And people say, oh, I don't believe that. Then you might as well quit talking to them. He that committeth sin is of the devil. There are two groups here. You got two families. You got two lineages. You got two lines of blood. You got two fathers. You got the devil and you got God. God has children. The devil has children. Judas was of the wicked one. He was of Satan. Cain was of the wicked one. He was of Satan. Two different lineages, two different groups of people. One that can't help but to believe the word of God because the word is stacked up against them. And the other group, they can't believe the word of God no matter how you fix it. You sit here and you preach to people and you wonder, this place should be packed. But people don't believe the word of God. The time will come, Timothy, that people will not endure sound doctrine.
Amen.
This day, that scripture is fulfilled. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. At all. At all. At all. At all. At all. I don't care what it looks like. If you're born of God, you can't commit sin. Sin is applied to the soul. Soul that don't believe God is full of sin. Soul that believes God cannot sin. Oh, my. Talk about a group of people who should be eternally secure. If I cannot sin, I can't help but go. I cannot disbelieve God's word. I might get mad as a wet hen. I might not want to believe it. I may not even want to do it. I may not even want to believe it, but I'll say it's the truth anyhow. It's the truth anyhow. It's the truth anyhow. I can't help it, because why do you believe what you believe? Because I come from God. I can't help but to believe. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck, but I believe. You might look good, you might act good, you might dress good, and you don't believe a thing that God has out there. I'd rather be me. I'd rather be me. Because I may be a wreck on this side, but this too shall pass. I may have trouble on this side, but this too shall pass. I might be down in the dump sometime, but this too shall pass. Because I know when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one waiting on me. Why? I got faith. I believe God. God said I have a tabernacle, and I'm just so stupid I can believe Him. Whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin. For His seed, what seed? That eternal germ seed of life that come from God. The peace of eternity that come from God that's in you, that was in you from your mother's womb, that was there when you were born. When God put a life in you in the natural, He put that eternal germ seed right there with it. That seed lied there dormant until you got into the knowledge of the Word of God. And when you come to the Word, it quickened that seed, and that same eternal life that was sitting there all your life start manifesting itself in you. The real you, the eternal part of you, the part of you that come from God. Your first nature didn't come from God. That was just an attribute of this old earth. And it had to die because it come from Satan. And Satan is sin. Every soul that was born through the womb come here by sex. It's full of sin and must die. Must die. Your soul has to die. Either here or there. Every soul that was born by sex has to die. Everyone. None exempt. There's nobody that's good enough that can make it through the sifter. Not one of us. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Must be born again. Why? That first soul, that first nature that you had come through sin, and it is Satan. Wrong family tree. Wrong family line, wrong lineage, has to die. Got to get out of there. And if that soul goes away, then there's got to be an eternal germ in you, because that germ is what gives you communication with God. That soul that's in there, that seed that's in there is God. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Oh, now we're talking about security. Now we're getting somewhere. Now you understand why I don't worry about what happens tomorrow. I don't worry about whether somebody comes in here and shoots the church up, or somebody comes and blows this city up. I'm not worried about that. God's got all that taken care of. And I know that I'm a son of God, and however I leave here, I'll leave here and go to a body not made but hands. I am eternally secured because I come from God and I'm going to God. I come from heaven and I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about what devil's on the bus, what devil's in the streets. I don't have to worry about what the neighborhood does. I am coming from God and I'm going back to where I come from. I don't have to worry about trying to live something, produce something, manufacture something, hold something, keep something. He's keeping me. I am so secure in who I am and where I'm going that it doesn't matter whether I fall on my face when I walk out that door. Right. Let it be known this morning, I'm secure. Amen. Let it be known this morning, I come from God and I'm going to God. Amen. Brother Childers, that's a doctrine they don't want to have, because that doctrine takes all the works out of it. Amen. All your good works and your bad works. Right. Because I come from God, and it doesn't matter what I work. Ah, good or bad. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. I'm eternally secure. I'm going, you know, that's where people mess up. Because they got it wrong. They walk out a door and say, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. And if I'm not predestinated, I won't. You're talking like you're not predestinated. Because number one, I don't have no question about it. I am predestinated. If I walked out the door, I'll say, I'm predestinated. So I'll see you there. I won't be talking about no if I'm not. What do you mean if? If is in your conversation, obviously it's not a revelation. So they got it messed up. They think I go out here and do what I want, and if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. What you're doing is proving that you're not. I don't talk like that. When I hear you talking about, I don't know if I can make it, you better get a new birth. I don't know if I'm going to hold. If I can hold out. If I can keep nothing. Keep the faith. It keeps me.
Amen.
I don't. When I let go, he's got me. You know how it is when you're grandkids? I got grandkids now. How it was when I had kids, they did the same thing. You're holding on to them, they're just squirming around. And then they go, poof. They just let go. You better have them. Because they are not afraid. They're not worrying about whether you're going to hold them or not. They're not worrying about, oh, that's concrete. Oh, that's the edge of a step. Oh, they're not worried about none of that. They just poof. When you are eternally secure, it doesn't matter whether you even hold on to God. God holds on to you. When I let go, because there's times I let go. There's times I say, I quit. There's times I say, I've had it up to here. I ain't doing it no more. This time I just let go. And I go as far as he let me. And I'm like, he's got me. I don't have him. I'm not secure because I'm holding on to God. I'm secure because God's holding on to me. And when he's holding on to me, it doesn't matter what storm comes my way. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at me. It doesn't matter what I personally go through in my life. When this life is over, I'll rise and go to my glory. That's eternally secure. People don't want eternal security because they want you to work your way to heaven. They want you to produce something. They want you to make your way. They are as bad as Rome when they're talking about playing your indulgences and trying to get to heaven. People want you to work your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. If it didn't come from heaven, you're not going. What they should do when they open the doors of the church, bring you up here and say, how do you do? Where'd you come from? Did you come from heaven? If they say no, go take a seat. We don't want you. Did you come from heaven? Yes. Well, come on in. Did you come from heaven? I don't know. Go sit down. If they did it like that, it'd make better sense. But we open up the quote-unquote like we can open the doors of the church. We open up the doors of the church, and you can't give him your heart before they open the doors of the church now. Sit still until I offer it to you. And we are so full of junk. We can't be secured with that mess. You need something that's positive. You need something that's sure. You need something that's based on the Word of God. You need something that's got Scripture that backs it. They look at me and say, oh, you're a mess. You're right. You don't deserve to go to heaven. You're right. Are you going? Yes, I'm going. You need to go to hell. You're right. But you're going to heaven, huh? Now, he took my place in hell so I can take his place in heaven. We are born of God and cannot sin. Cannot sin. Cannot sin. We are born of that incorruptible seed by the Word of God. See why the Word is so important? You got to have the Word. People are preaching all kind of junk around this world, and they couldn't save you out of a burning house. They didn't give you enough revelation to give you hope to even feel like there's a way home. But you gotta have the Word. The Word is what we build our faith on. We put our faith in the Word. And if they don't give you enough, if they try to build your faith on those creeds, you couldn't get nowhere. Creeds and dogmas, he is not obligated to quicken creeds and dogmas. Right. He won't quicken creeds and dogmas. Jesus said, by your tradition, you've made the word of God of none effect. You made your tradition more important than the word of God. People have so much church tradition that, oh, they don't even have a service unless you open the doors of the church. Oh, they don't have a service unless you give your heart to Christ. Oh, they don't have a service until you come by letter or Christian experience. Oh, I know the stuff. Been there and done that. Heard all that. But that's what they teach you. They're not talking about get with the word. Get with the word. Have faith in God. Have faith in the word. The word's going to tell you you're eternally secure. Don't worry about falling. You can't fall when you got God. When you're eternally secure, your day is done. Amen. Your work is over. Amen. He's got you totally. He's got you made. All right. I'm moving on down. I'm skipping Ephesians. I'm skipping these quotes. I'm going all the way down here to the bottom. Now, Galatians 4 and 6, Don Deskins' favorite scripture. One of them. And because ye are sons, God sent forth his spirit. Because. He did that in the right order. He didn't say, he sent the spirit and you became sons. He's only coming after his sons. He's only been after his sons. That's all he's been interested in. He's never been interested in anybody but the eternal germ seeds that he planted down here on purpose for a job. Because ye are sons. That's the only reason he did this. God sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Father, Father. Ah, because you're sons. Because you come from God, because you have a piece of eternity, if you have a piece of eternity in you, God's coming after you. God won't stop until he gets his bit of eternity back. He will not end up, when this is done, missing some eternity. That's a part of himself. Every bit of it that he has, all those seeds that he planted down through time and eternity and ages, he's going to get every last one of them. Matter of fact, he was saving them in the Old Testament because he couldn't redeem them until after Jesus came. But all those Old Testament saints had a bit of eternal germ seed in them as well. And they had to go to hell in that holding ground until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he set captivity free. He took them and busted down hell's door and took all of his seed out and says, I won't lose none of these. He's going to have them all. Because you're sons. Now, one more quote here, and I'm closing. Future home. Brother Brennan said, there is your holy convocation. Not have anything to do with the literal thing. It's beyond that. It's into the kingdom of God with eternal life, with the predestinated that never did start. The predestinated never did start. You talk about predestination. When I come to this message, I didn't believe in predestination. I thought it was a Baptist doctrine so they could live bad. That's what we taught in our apostolic church. That's what we said. We said, that's just a Baptist doctrine. They want to do predestination because they can go live bad and they still get to go to heaven. But when I come here and found out that predestination was real, the predestinated that never did start, it never started on any day. You weren't saved on any day. We'd go to those Pentecostal churches and they'd sing that, when I say what day you were saved on, stand up. You know, I'd sit there and they'd say, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They go through the whole week and I'm sitting like, I wasn't saved on any day. I was saved before the foundation of the world. My name was transferred to the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. See, eternal security means your name was transferred back then. You were part of God all the way through. And why do you have to worry about getting the lost, backsliding, and slipping out if you come from God? When you start talking like that, I'm like, I don't know if you're eternally secure. Wasn't saved on any day. You were always saved. Amen. Jesus has come to redeem that. But you were saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. Oh, my, why would we worry today? A trout fish can never be a gar or tadpole. He might be in the same water with him. We might be in the same messed up world with him. But you could be a tadpole in the world. But he was, from the beginning, a trout. The net only called him, see? But he was that from the beginning. That's who we have always been. We have been eternally secured. People don't like that doctrine because it takes the work out of it. It allows you to just rest, and they don't want you to rest because they want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling because they've got some scripture. They misinterpret that. They misinterpret everything they read. And what they do is they end up having you doing things and saying things and trying to be something that you're not and trying to work up something and trying to produce something. And God's not trying to get you to do anything but accept what he's already done. And if you can accept what he's already done, then there's a good chance that you're predestinated, because most people can't accept it. They don't want to accept it. They want to actually do something. But eternal security means God's done it. He's set up the whole plan. He's looked at it. He's already got me included. He's made a way for me. All that he called, I didn't read that one. He justified. And all that he justified, he glorified. Already. He said, but I don't have my glorified body. Yes, you do. And his mind, he's already finished it for you. He already knows what your glorified body is going to look like. Matter of fact, he's already fashioned it in his mind. He's already determined how you're going to get it, when you're going to get it, where you're going to get it, what it's going to look like. He's got all of that all worked out. Eternally secure? Yes, I am. Come on, musicians. Do I have it made? Yes, I do. Do I belong to God? Yes, I do. Oh, my. These doctrines, it'll help you to rest in knowing who you are. It's just another one. Another one of those doctrines that we take for granted, that the world don't have no clue about. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your truth, your word, and how it so ties together and runs with every scripture, showing that great plan of redemption that you had, that we can, Lord, trust your word, trust what you said. We want to really trust you for what you said you would do for us. And Lord, you give us everything that we need to trust you. You give us the faith to believe. You revealed yourself to us in such a way and made it known that we could see it clearly. And now, Lord, all you ask us to do is stand on that word. Stand on those promises and just watch you work. Watch you bring them to pass. Everything you said you were going to do, Lord, you have done it up to this point, and I don't doubt at all that you'll complete that which you've started. Just a little bit longer, Lord. You ask the question, when you return to earth, would you find faith? Yes, you will. And this little ragtag bride, she will stand here. When they said you're not coming back, we'll stand here packed ready. When they said you delayed your return, Lord, we'll stand knowing you're right on schedule. God, as that little woman did, that little washed woman that had that promise of the prince coming back for her a year to the day, you've made us a promise. And though they laughed her to scorn and talked about her and told her you'd forgotten her and wouldn't come back, oh, God, we can hear the wheels of the chariot even now. The promise of your return is right amongst us. And though they can't see it, Lord, we see it clearly. And we're resting in all those things you promised that we would have. Thank you for it, Lord. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to understand it. And help us to use it to defeat the devil with it. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. If you can't be secure with what we have, you can't be secure. God has included everything that we needed to make sure it's all done and taken care of. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock. Come expecting. I'm sure God has something for us. He always does. Oh, what a mighty God.